Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we are going to be studying together, looking together, verses 12 through verse 19. So we are in this series this year on Sunday evenings, Wisdom for Living, Relationships, Navigating Relationships in a Broken World. And so So we are looking tonight at relationships with a worthless person. Relationship with a worthless person. Before we look at this, I need some feedback from you. Just from your background, the way you look at things, the way you grew up, and the way you were taught. What is your reaction? What reaction do you have calling someone worthless? If you're to call someone worthless, what kind of a impression do you have? Or if you were a child and you called someone worthless, what was the implications of that when you grew up? I'd like to get some variety of thoughts here. You called someone worthless. Was that just a neutral thing? It wasn't a big deal. Was it a big deal? Somebody who's not helpful, okay, all right. Would you call them that? Ah, you're worthless. If you're annoyed, okay, and I agree with that, right? So if you get really annoyed with someone, you might, as a zinger, right? You are worthless, right? Okay, that's good. That's good. Excellent. Somebody else, what's your reaction to that? Because we had reactions this morning. What? People were saying to me, what? Worthless. How can you talk about being worthless? What's your reaction? Was that like a neutral thing? Was that even something in your vocabulary? What do you think? Harsh, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Very harsh. It's like it feels unkind, doesn't it? Feels unkind. That was what I had put written down. Anybody else? That idea of being worthless? Yeah. They don't bring out what you expect from them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're kind of getting a little bit of a nuance there as to how we process this term. So I want us to go to the scripture in Proverbs chapter 6, and I want to get a biblical idea about who this person is and what is their character. Now remember, Proverbs chapter 6, we mentioned this last week. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon is identifying three foolish people, all right? Three foolish people. In verse 1 through 5, a foolish person is one who becomes surety for a friend. And we haven't looked at that, but that's the first one. And then last week, we saw the lazy person, right? Verses 6 through 11. One who is lazy will often work hard at not working, okay? Some sage of ages past said, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And I think that's true, right? Keep them busy. Keep your mind busy. Keep your parents, keep your children busy, active, working. Not too much free time, because those little sinful minds and hearts can get into trouble really quick, right? And then the third foolish person that Solomon is talking about here is found in verses 12 through 19. Now notice verse 12. A worthless person. There it is. A worthless person. A wicked man. And he begins to describe the character of this person. Okay, now let me give you a definition so that we're all on the same page and we get a bit of clarity as to what I think Solomon is referring to and Scripture is referring to when use this word worthless. So what is a worthless person? Being worthless, it's the quality. It's the quality of being useless. Have you ever said, you're useless? Okay. It's the quality of being useless, good for nothing, unprofitable. This word is translated in Scripture, the root word is translated in Scripture sometimes as wicked ungodly, and son of Belial, which is another name for Satan. All right, so this is the idea of being worthless. And you see that in verse 12, don't you? A worthless person, and then as though a secondary definition, in case you wonder what a worthless person is, he says, a worthless person, a wicked man. Okay? Listen to, and this was A.W. Tozer, listen to this list. Here's the character of a wicked man. Listen to this. And every one of these has a scripture, but I don't have time to give you all the scriptures. But just listen. So scripture says this about a worthless man, a wicked man. He's abominable, Revelation 21:8. He's alienated from God, Ephesians 4:18. He's blasphemous, Luke 22:65. He's blinded, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's boastful, Psalm 10:3. He's conspiring against people, Nehemiah 4:8. He's covetous, Micah 2:2. He's deceitful, Psalm 5:6. He delights in the iniquity of others, Proverbs 2:14. He despises the work of the faithful, Nehemiah 2:19. He's destructive, Isaiah 59:7. He's disobedient, Nehemiah 9:26. He's enticing to evil, Proverbs 1:10-14. He's envious, Titus 3:3. He's fearful, Proverbs 28:1. He's fierce, Proverbs 16:29. He's foolish, Psalm 5:5. He's forgetting God, Job 8:13. He's fraudulent, Psalm 37:21. He's froward, Proverbs 21:8. He's glorying in shame, Philippians 3:19. He's hard-hearted, Ezekiel 3:7. He hates the light, Job 24:13. He's heady and high-minded, 2 Timothy 3:4. He's hostile to God, Romans 8:7. He's hypocritical, Isaiah 29:13. He's ignorant of God, Hosea 4:1. He's impudent, Ezekiel 2:4. He's incontinent, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He's an infidel, Psalm 10:4. He's loathsome, Proverbs 13:5. He's a lover of pleasure more than God, 2 Timothy 3:4. He's filled with lies, Psalms 58:3. He's mischievous, Proverbs 24:8. He's murderous, Romans 1:29. He's prayerless, Job 21:15. He's persecuting, Psalm 69:26. He's perverse, Deuteronomy 32:5. He's proud, Psalm 59:12. He rejoices in the affliction of saints, Psalms 35:15. He's a reprobate, 2 Timothy 3:8. He's selfish, 2 Timothy 3:2. He's sensual, Philippians 3:19. He's sold under sin, 1 Kings 21:20. He's stiff-hearted, Ezekiel 2:4. He's stiff-necked, Ezekiel 33:5. He's uncircumcised in heart, Jeremiah 9:26. He's unjust, Proverbs 11:7. He's unmerciful, Romans 1:31. He's ungodly, Proverbs 16:27. He's unholy, 2 Timothy 3:2. He's unprofitable, Matthew 25:30. He's unruly, Titus 1:10. He's unthankful, Luke 6:35. He's untoward, Acts 2:40. And he's unwise, Deuteronomy 32:6. Wow. 56. I just read you 56 characteristics. Now, here's what we want to look at. How do we relate with those who God says are worthless persons? This word worthless, Judges 19:22, this was when the Levite came to Gibeah, the town of Gibeah, in Judges 19, and they were making their hearts merry, and he came to the city looking for his concubine, and behold, the men of the city, here it is, worthless fellows, surrounded the house, beat on the door, and said to the old man, the master of the house, bring out the men who came into your house, that we may know them sexually. Worthless fellows, it called them. 1 Samuel 2:12, this is what it says of the sons of Eli. Listen to this. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men, for they did not know the Lord. This is the sons of the high priest, and God is calling them worthless fellows. Psalm 101:3, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. All right, so we have an idea now, I think, of what we are talking about in our text. So let's go to it. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read it, and then we're going to go back and look at what we have just read. Let's read 12 through 19. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Okay, so there's the description. Now notice what the result is in verse 15. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing or beyond remedy. Look at verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So what we're going to look at and discuss together tonight from this text is I want you to see that this text, Solomon, is going to identify the character and also show us the solemn end of the worthless man. And we will conclude in a few moments by looking and hearing God's own warning lest we should walk the path of a worthless man. Okay, so let's look at verse 12 through 14. Look at the character of the worthless man. The character. So what is the first description that you see about the character of a worthless man? Verse 12. And by the way, raise your hand if you can read. I need someone to go to 8:13. 8:13. Okay, thank you. Joe, 10:31 through 32. Thank you, Corbin. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Come on, guys. Let's pop up the hands. Thank you, ma'am. And then Matthew 12:34. 2 Samuel 13:3-6. 2 Samuel 13:3-6. 2 Samuel 13:3-6. Peter? Proverbs 1:26-27. Okay, thank you. Proverbs 24:22. Ezekiel 7:25-27. Ezekiel 7:25-27. Ali? Okay. Proverbs 29:1. Okay. All right. Okay. Ms. Kaseke. Proverbs 29:1. Psalm 7:11. Psalm 7:11. Thank you, Simon. Let's stop right there, okay? All right. Now, tell me, what is the first character spoken of about the worthless person? Look at verse 12. What's the first characteristic? Speak it. Okay, a crooked speech or a corrupt mouth, some translations say, or perverse speech. Okay, so this has to do with his mouth. 8:13, read it loudly. Okay, and perverted speech I hate. Okay. 10:31-32. Okay, but so the mouth of the righteous knows what's acceptable. The mouth of the wicked knows what is perverse, twisted, corrupted. All right, so it's speaking about speech that is not straight or not in line with the righteous revelation of God. All right, it's twisted. It's been manipulated. It's not cutting a straight line. It's speech that is vile and corrupt and it's seeking to lead people astray in one way or another. It could easily speak of manipulation. You know, we manipulate people with our tongues. You know that, don't you? We try to make people feel bad, or we try to manipulate them to be and do what we want them to do, right? And a lot of times, manipulative speech goes hand in hand with another demonstration of a foolish heart, and that is unrighteous anger, right? Unrighteous anger and manipulative tongues. Right? We're going to twist something. We're going to take the truth and we're going to twist it to fit our narrative, or twist it so it makes us look better, or twist it so that we can achieve or obtain whatever it is we're after. Okay, that's what this is talking about. Perverse mouths. If speech is not straight, it's the idea of telling jokes with double meaning. Remember that when we were in high school? Guys, at least. Saying things that are dishonoring to God. All of this, right? This is the character of a worthless man. What is the next thing that this person does in verse 13? What is regarding his character? Winks with his eyes. What's the next one? Next one in verse 13. Yeah, what do you think that might mean? Yeah, you know, where a person's feet takes them shows where their heart is, doesn't it? Where a person's feet takes them, right? Where he points his toes, the direction that he goes, is a revelation about the affections of his heart. Okay? I'll have more to say about this in just a moment. What is the third thing in verse 13? What's the end of verse 14? 13, sorry. What's it say? Okay, points with his finger. So he's signaling with his eyes, his feet, and his fingers. In other words, this guy is a slick operator. He uses his eyes, his feet, and his fingers for deception, deceptive communication. He's devious in his actions. Every part of him is suggestive. The way he walks, the way he moves his body. It's the character of a worthless man, right? What does Galatians 6, 7, and 8 tell us? Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, I might have written. Okay, yeah, so this worthless man, this wicked man, uses every part of his body for deception, devious actions. God, and don't be deceived, God wants pure men and women. The principle is, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. So he has a perverse, corrupt mouth. He signals with his eyes, feet, and his fingers. Look at verse 14. What does he do? Mm-hmm. With what kind of heart? What kind of heart does he have? Yeah, that word means corrupt. He's deceitful. So notice, out of the abundance of the heart, right, comes the issues of life. And so his deception, his perverse mouth, and the use of his eyes and feet and fingers come from a corrupt, deceitful heart. Remember, the scripture tells us that whatever's in the heart will come out the mouth. Listen to Matthew 12, 34. Read verse 34 through 37, whoever has that. Okay, so what is in the heart will come out the mouth. You see, this deceitful person looks for deceitful ways to accomplish his purposes. In other words, he has made up his mind that he is going to do evil. He wants what he wants. And every part of his being, his fingers, his eyes, his feet, and his mouth, all work together to achieve what he purposes, okay? Now, there's an example of this with the friend, and this is no friend to have, the friend of Amnon, the son of David, had a friend named Jonadab. Listen to 2 Samuel 13, 3 through 6. All right, deceitful ways. This is the heart, the perverted heart that devises evil. Notice the fourth thing in verse 14. What does it say? What does this worthless person do continually? Sowing discord. This is the person that no matter where they go, what environment that they're in, and who they're hanging out with, it's not very long until there is confusion, upset people, and discord in that group. Doesn't matter if it's the choir, the church, the work, the sporting event, doesn't matter where the dude goes, there's confusion. Have you ever noticed that people like that? And it's never them, right? Because they're deceptive. It's always someone else. And yet, after a while, you're like, but every time there's confusion, you're there. The only common denominator between all the problems is you. This is a worthless person. Titus 3:10, I don't think I gave that one. As for a person who stirs up division, this is speaking in the local church, after warning him once, then twice, have nothing more to do with him. So Matthew chapter 18, the principles of church discipline in a restorative effort to bring people away from the precipice of sin and destruction. Go to him with a friend. If he still doesn't listen, go to the church. If he still doesn't listen, then you have to put him out of the church, right? That whole process. Except when it is a worthless man, a wicked person who is stirring up division. in the church. A different path then. You warn them once, you warn them twice, you put them out. Why? Because all of the other sins that may take place in the life of a person in the context of a local church can be dealt with. Time can be given to try to help that person and work with that person in a restorative trajectory. But when a person is divisive, when a person continually stirs up discord, you warn them once, you warn her twice, you put them out. Because this issue is the most destructive to the family of God. Pretty serious, huh? We're going to see just how serious it is. Look at verse 15. So we see the character of a worthless man, but notice the end of a worthless man in verse number 15. Somebody read verse 15. Listen to this. Who's got it? Who wants to read verse 15? Yep, read it loudly. Okay. Now notice, look at the end of this worthless man. Great calamity. This speaks of a sudden, violent disaster. In fact, I remember this. July the 17th, 1996. And Boeing 747, I think it was Flight 77. I don't have that written down, but somehow that sticks in my mind. Took off from New York's Kennedy International Airport. Oh, no, it's TWA Flight 800. And it took off from New York's Kennedy Airport, headed to Paris with like 250 people on board. And 6 minutes up and out over the Atlantic Ocean, the aircraft exploded in midair. And everyone was lost. The National Transportation Safety Board spent $40 million in investigating that tragedy. And though the source of the explosion was never discovered, they concluded that, at first they thought it was a terrorist attack, but they believe that it was an electrical failure that ignited a nearly empty center fuel tank in the center wing of the aircraft. And that event remains the deadliest airplane disaster in U.S. history. That's what we're talking about. That's the word there. It says calamity. Absolute, irreversible calamity, destruction. It's like the explosion of TWA Flight 800 into a billion pieces and scattered across the Atlantic Ocean. A great calamity, a sudden disaster. Notice what it says also, verse 15. The word broken, in a moment. Notice the suddenness of this. In a moment he will be broken. That word broken means violently wrecked or crushed. Read Proverbs 1, 26 and 27. All right, God says, I'm going to stand back and mock you when your calamity comes like a whirlwind. Proverbs 24, 22. Yeah, disaster, calamity will arise suddenly. Ezekiel 7, 25 through 27. Loudly. Yeah. So that violent calamity, they will be broken. And then it says in verse 15, without remedy. In other words, this cannot be reversed. It cannot be healed. It cannot be mended. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again when this type of a calamity befalls the wicked man. Psalm 7, verse 11. Listen to this. Okay. God is a righteous judge, one who feels indignation or wrath against the wicked every day. All right, so here's the warning. All right, here we're gonna wrap up here in the next 5-6 minutes. Look at verse 16 through 19. So here's the application, here's the warning. The warning to avoid being a worthless man. Notice what it says in verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Now, if you go back up to 12 through 14, you can count six things. Interesting, right? There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. So here's a warning to avoid being a worthless man. Notice what he says. I'm angry with the wicked every day, Psalm 7:11. Six things the Lord hates. Look at the first one. Pride. You see it? Haughty eyes. Look back 13a. He winks with his eyes. Interesting, isn't it? Huh? What does God hate? Proud look. Haughty eyes. Notice the second thing he says he hates. A lying tongue. Go back to the end of verse number 12. A wicked man goes about with crooked speech. Look at haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Notice the next one in verse 17. Hands that shed innocent blood. So pride God hates, so therefore we should embrace what? Humility. God hates lying, therefore we should embrace truth, speaking truth. Number three, God hates murder. Hands that shed innocent blood. Wicked hands. Look at verse 13c. He winks with his eyes, signals his feet. Look at it. Points with his finger. A lying tongue. False witness. Points with his finger. Shedding innocent blood. What is the opposite of murder? It's love. Right? So pride, lying, murder. Look at the fourth one. Verse 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. Here you have evil intent. What is the opposite of evil intent? Good intent. Look at verse 14. The beginning of verse 14. With a perverted heart, he devises evil. Do you see it? Look at number five, evil actions. Look what it says. A heart that devises wicked plans and feet that make haste to run to evil. Look back up at verse 13. What does he do? He winks with his eyes. He signals with his feet. That's why I said, where your feet take you reveals what your heart, right? So this is a person whose feet makes haste to run to evil. What is the opposite of evil actions? It's righteous actions. Look at the sixth thing God hates. A false witness who breathes out lies. Now it's interesting, the first section had six things. The second section says seven things is an abomination. We'll get to the abomination part here in a second. All right? So notice a false witness that breathes out lies can go back again to the end of verse number 12. He goes about with crooked speech. What is the opposite of a false witness? It's a truthful witness. I think this speaks of hypocrisy or the lack thereof. Now notice what he says. Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. Now, what is the seventh one on this list? One who sows discord amongst brothers. Go back to the end of verse 14. What does a wicked, worthless man do? He continually sows discord amongst brothers. Do you see what's going on here? The things that are the characteristics of a worthless, wicked man are the very things that down here God says, I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. Six times, I hate them. Yes, in fact, seven are an abomination. In case the word hate isn't strong enough. Do you know what abomination means? A most detestable thing. Here, I'm just going to do this for you because we're almost done. I'm going to give you four. There are more. But in Scripture, things that God says are an abomination. Heathen customs. This is Deuteronomy 8, 9 through 12. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his sons or daughters as an offering to an idol. Anyone who practices divination or witchcraft or tells fortunes or interprets omens or is a sorcerer. Or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer. You know what a necromancer is? That's someone who goes and inquires of the dead. Listen to verse 12. For whoever does these things is, listen, an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord God is driving these people out before you. That's number one. Here's the second thing he says is an abomination. Sexual perversion. Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination. Two men sleeping together is an abomination to God. That's what he said. And you shall not lie with an animal. So to make yourself unclean with it, bestiality. Nor shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is a perversion. It's an abomination to God. Now that's getting pretty gross. Right? You're like, yeah, we're with you on those. Abomination. Even me, I think that's an abomination. Okay, hang on. Proverbs 12:22. Here's the third one. Listen to this one. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. So you mean in the eyes of God, sleeping and having sex with an animal, which is an abomination, is the same vile wickedness as lying lips. Or offering in sacrifice your little child in a fire to an idol as an abomination. Yeah, brother, that's an abomination. So are lying lips. Whew. Abomination. Here's, I'm going to give you one more. Proverbs 16:5. Listen to this one. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord, and be assured he will not go unpunished. These six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to the Lord. What are those seven things? They are the characteristics of a worthless, wicked person. Do you see the connection that he's making in the text? So what's the point? Don't be found as a worthless man. That's the point. Evaluate yourself to determine if the trajectory of your life is manipulative with deceitful behavior, sowing discord, and going against God's standard of righteousness. Remember, the downfall of the worthless man is inevitable, leading to irreparable damage. It's catastrophic when it comes. So therefore, align your character and your actions with divine wisdom and righteousness to avoid condemnation. That's the point. So let me leave us close right here with just two thoughts to carry away. I want you to remember these words all week. Be broken, lest you be broken. Okay, let's say it again. Be broken, lest you be broken. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we saw the brokenness, right? It's a calamity. It's an irreparable, devastating destruction of the wicked man, right? That we saw that in Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 14, in verse 15. Okay, but here is the brokenness that we ought to have. Psalm 57, 17, David said, after his sin with Bathsheba, as he made his life right with God, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Listen, I got to close, but listen, friend. If any of those characteristics of the worthless man is reflected in your life, there's hope. Be broken. Be broken over your sin. That's what he's saying. A broken and a contrite heart. If you are struggling with a lying tongue, or if you are constantly stirring up animosity and division and arguments and fights, and it's just chaos everywhere you go, recognize it. Right? Here's the hope. Be broken. Lest you be broken. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. He will never say, no, you've been too wicked, you've been too bad. I'm not going to accept that. No, he'll just wrap you up in his arms of love. Isn't that wonderful? He won't despise a broken and contrite heart. And secondly, avoid relationships with a worthless person. The wise son avoids becoming friends with the wicked. That's the point. A wise son avoids developing friendships with the wicked. So, Father, as we go out into our week, I pray that we would have much wisdom from you as we relate with the world around us, those who fit this description of a worthless man. Help our relationships in those areas to be redemptive, that we would live the gospel and preach the gospel. But Lord, in areas where perhaps we have experienced our own temptation, as we heard this morning, or struggle, maybe some of these characteristics that at this moment in our walk are uncomfortable because they have somehow crept in and are reflective of who we are in a certain area of our life. Oh God, rip away the blinders so that we can see what you see. That we don't excuse it, that we turn to you. Help us, Lord, to be broken, lest we be broken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope that God's grace and peace and guidance will go with you this week. Let's love one another, pray for one another. Let's speak the gospel to someone this week. Let's invite someone to join us for worship next Sunday. God bless you. You are dismissed.